B-Pod Studios.
Tomorrow night. So, you know, don't be surprised if the whole narrative of, oh, they don't play for Brett Brown comes into play in the first quarter of Thursday night's game, and we watch them just take a 30-point lead right off the rip.
I hope they respond.
I it wouldn't surprise me if they did. To say that they're not aware of it, I think would be naive. Of course they're aware of it, because every one of those guys that we talk about all have some form of social media presence. So obviously they've seen it on Twitter in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and Grav, well, real quick, thanks for the call, but we got to get to Adam Schefter in a minute here, but the team already reached out, and they reached out to Chris Sheridan via their PR director, Dave Schaller, who put on Twitter, this is a hack job. The worst he's seen in a decade in the PR business, in sports, the worst he has seen. So the team has addressed it through their PR director. They've addressed it. And I got to say, it is, if you're going to deny anything, that's the way to deny it. I'll tell you that
right.
I do have to tell you, 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
It's springtime in Philly, and we've got the green.
Win $1,000 or maybe $10,000. This is 97.5 The Fanatics 5K a day big green giveaway.
This hour's keyword is radio. Enter the keyword radio on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting radio to 45911 by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword radio on the Fanatic app at 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting radio to 45911. That's 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Powered by Farron Electric. Electric issues in your home? Trust Farron Electric to keep your family safe. Visit FarronElectric.com. Good luck. And now, without further ado, brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics, minimally invasive spine institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit RothmanSpine.com. The great Adam Schefter. Good morning, Mr. Adam Schefter.
Good morning, guys. 8 days out of the NFL draft. Schedule comes out tonight. There's football fever in the midst of the Sixers playoff series.
But there we go. Now, we are going to cover all this and more with you, Adam Schefter, as per usual. But you, sir, are a journalist. And we got to talk a little bit about journalistic integrity and all that fun stuff. Because there have been stories in Philadelphia over the last couple of months, whether one coming out about Carson Wentz and having trouble in the locker room, or right now one about Ben Simmons and all that stuff. I don't know if you saw this story by Chris Sheridan saying that Ben Simmons is having trouble in the locker room because he was drunk, hungover, missed the game in Orlando because of it, and Brett Brown's lost the locker room, and Elton Brand wants to trade Ben Simmons and all this other stuff, and it all cites sources. When you're doing a story, Adam, and you have obviously risen to a great height here, prominence and all that throughout the football world and little in basketball as well, when you're putting a story together, what lengths do you go to make sure what you're reporting is factually accurate?
Well, first of all, that's everything. Right. If you're not accurate, then your credibility is compromised, and you can't have that. And so in graduate school to get my journalism degree, the first thing they taught us on the very first day of school was, if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And all these years later, I still have not been able to confirm that my mother loves me, but I have been able to confirm that the Eagles are expected to be active in the draft next week. Okay? So, I mean, you must check out these things. Now, again, a lot of times it's hearsay, it's speculative. I mean, you know how many times I could write a story where I'm hearing this from a lot of people? But hearing and actually putting it out there are two different things, especially when you're dealing with the subject matter. So if I'm hearing that Ben Simmons was out late and didn't show up, I want to confirm he's not there. I want to confirm he's not there. Now, there's always going to be different opinions and interpretations of facts. Look what happened in the Bleacher Report with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. We know that there's some shred of truth. We just don't know exactly how much is true. And if you ask every person, everybody's got a different take. And I didn't read Phil Sheridan's article this morning. But what I would say is, number one, I'm sure there's something there. He didn't just make this up.
Right.
Number two, Ben Simmons is 22 years old. 22. How many of us at the age of 22 showed up late to work or showed up to work hungover or whatever it would be? Like 22, wealthy, successful, a star. I'm sure Ben Simmons has done some things. Now, how he's handled himself, how he's carried himself in the locker room, how he's endeared himself to his teammates or not endeared himself to his teammates is a separate issue. And I can't speak to that. You know, Bob could speak to that better than I could, obviously. But to me, there must be enough smoke there for this guy to write that. And there must be some issues there. And I don't know whether he got everything 100% right, 50% right. What's your take on what he read? You tell me, being that I have not been able to hear your conversation this morning.
My take on it is that there wasn't a lot of stretching done in this story in terms of, I think everybody realizes, and Chris Sheridan, who wrote the story for the New York Daily News, pointed out that, oh yeah, if Brett Brown doesn't win in the first round, he's going to get fired. Okay, thank you for that. I think we all get that. I mean, most of our callers have had that same kind of point of view, like my 10-year-old daughter, that type of thing, right? Knows something like that. If Brett Brown doesn't get out of the second round of the playoffs, most likely he'll at least make it to the bus but get fired. I don't think there's a lot of stretching done in this story. That's not a big stretch there. And then there's parts of the story that make it look like, and Bob's pointed this out, that were written after game one and then not really adjusted after game two. Like saying Ben Simmons is annually taken out of playoff games, annually exposed in the playoffs, when this is only his second year and his third playoff series.
And he played well. Now, again, I'll say this to you. When we talk about coaches, there have been so many times during the course of my 30 years in this business, especially the last 10 at ESPN, where we're basically rolling along towards the end of the season, and you're hearing this coach is fired, this coach is fired, and you're like, yeah, this coach is gone, this coach is gone. And 90% of the time, 80, 90% of the time, that's right. But there are times when it changes around. I've seen people in my industry, our industry, report this coach is likely to be gone at the end of the year, or they're going to make a change. And they don't. Things change. What if the Sixers were in a playoff role, right? And if they don't and they crash and burn, yeah, again, probably a real good chance they're going to change coaches. But again, to your point, your 10-year-old daughter knows that. Philadelphia knows it. We don't need to. It's one thing to know it and think it and speculate about it. It's another thing to just see it in print. I don't love that. That's me. Okay?
Yeah, it's me too.
It's sort of stating the obvious. And, I mean, if you want to report in hard facts, the Sixers will fire Brett Brown if they don't get out of the first round. Fine. Your name is on that, and everybody's going to remember that. You got a lot riding on it. I don't think that they have made that decision yet. I think everybody could think that that's going to happen, but let's wait to see how it plays out. I don't think we need to put any more pressure on the coach, the situation, whatever. Just sit back and let it play. We know the coach is on the ropes, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Let it go from there. Now, the Ben Simmons part, again, he played great the other night. I kind of knew he would. Like, everybody was so down on him, and I said to one of my buddies that day, as I was doing my daily fantasy lineup, Ben Simmons is the one guy I want in my lineup that day. And sure enough, we had a triple-double, right, that day?
Yes.
So he was fantastic.
Yeah, his second triple-double in the playoffs, but he gets exposed in the playoffs, evidently.
Annually. Every year, Shefty, even though he's only been in it 1 year. He gets exposed every year.
Triple-double at age 22.
Yeah.
Adam, I got to ask you, because I heard you dangled this out there. The Eagles active in the draft. What do you know? What do you think their plans are going into the NFL draft next week?
Well, I say that because they're just always active. That's just who they are and what they do.
That is their history.
Again, to steal Buzz, it's not exactly a stretch to say that the Eagles are going to be active in the draft, okay? It's not exactly a stretch. We know they're going to be active. I'm sure they're going to look to move up or move back or move out or gain more picks or address more needs or look for players. Look, they have certain needs right now. To think that they're not going to be active in the draft, I mean, that's just absurd. That's crazy. So I don't know how it's going to come out, but I promise you that they're going to be trying to wheel and deal and move around and manipulate the draft because that's what they always do.
Yeah, there you go. There's a track record there, no doubt about that. Speaking with Adam Schefter of ESPN. Adam, what do you know about Carson Wentz's back injury from last year? Because Zach Ertz came out last year, earlier this week and said that he had hurt it earlier in the year and fought through it and all that. And then when he was pushed on it, didn't want to examine it any further because obviously it's another player's injury. Just from your own knowledge, what do you know about the history of Carson Wentz and his injury specifically with the back last year?
That's my understanding, that Zach Ertz is exactly right, that he hurt it early on. I don't remember whether it was week 3, 4, 5, but he did hurt it early on. And then, obviously, it got worse. And then they weren't winning. And it was a whole avalanche of factors that led to them shutting him down. Now, they always felt like he was going to be ready for this season, which is one of the reasons that they were able to let Nick Foles go, that it wasn't going to be something that lingered and serious. But it was. It occurred earlier in the year and got worse as the year went on, the point where eventually his season was ended when it was. And so I don't remember the exact week, and I don't think we knew at that time that his back was hurting him. But when it comes out later that he's hurt and he's not going to play again, you start asking around, oh, it was earlier? Oh, early in the season? Oh, we played through that? Okay. And so that's what happened. And again, like Zach, I don't have any problem sharing what I know, the limited amount I know, but like Zach Ertz, that is right. The injury occurred early in the season, and I believe it probably impacted the way he played when he did play.
Shefty, how happy should Carson Wentz be with the deal that Russell Wilson just signed?
It's a great question, and I think that even if Russell Wilson had not gotten that deal, I don't know how much it would have impacted Carson Wentz anyway. Right. We have Aaron Rodgers sitting there at 33.5, and Russell Wilson comes in at 35 average. And Carson Wentz is somebody that the Eagles believe in. And so if you're Carson Wentz and you want to play it out and try to go win a Super Bowl this year, could he beat those numbers? Yeah. Do you want to take something safe now? And I don't know what that number is. Is that number 30? Is it 28, 30, 32? With upside, it might be. I don't know how it would look, but I don't think he's going to make what those guys are making. I don't think he's going to pass them, but they've given some parameters for both Wentz and the Eagles to work around. And like I said, I think even without the Wilson contract, Wentz's contract, both sides have an idea of what it would look like. And I don't think that the Wilson contract impacts the Wentz contract all that much.
You know, we going back to how everybody's been talking about these injuries, you know, we had my man Kelsey just talk about a torn elbow. Yeah. Have you heard of this injury before?
I've never heard of a torn elbow. but I mean, you know, you get a torn ligaments in an elbow.
Yes.
You have a torn muscle in the elbow. Torn elbow, but I've heard a funny bone. You know, you hurt your funny bone.
now that's something. I want to see that on an injury report.
Yeah.
Torn and a funny bone.
Yeah, I hit my funny bone.
I've never seen that on an injury, a torn elbow before. You know, I've seen a torn ligament. I've seen a torn muscle. I've seen other tears. But look, I think the bottom line is, you know, with Jason Kelce and with many players, and look, well, you asked me that question once. I think a lot of times, Trey, you would know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys are playing through things that are worse than the public often realizes. Like, we see these injury reports, and it says Julio Jones, knee. And you say, oh, yeah, he's going to play. You know, like, guy listed with a concussion. Oh, let's see if he can clear protocol. Like, a couple of years ago, I was walking out of my driveway. I slipped on the ice, slammed my head. You know, my head was in a fog for a week. I had a concussion. I was probable for Sunday countdown, and I made it. But I said to myself, wow, so this is what it's like to have a concussion, and this is what it's like to have some of these symptoms, and this is what these guys go through to play. And I had my left knee operated on. I had an MCL. And sometimes we see these guys get MCLs, and you're like, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, I can still barely walk. And I'm thinking some of these guys are going back to play. And the point is that I think a lot of times these injuries are worse than the public knows. These guys play through much more than the public realizes.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are in the NFL because they are physically and mentally tough. Mm-hmm. Tough. and they play through a lot. And I think when you hear Kelce's injury, that puts into words exactly how tough some of these guys are.
Adam, always great talking to you. We will talk to you on Wednesday next week, obviously, right before the NFL draft gets underway. Adam Schefter, always great to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Good luck to the Sixers.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. They're going to need it because I heard a bunch of them tore their funny bone. So it's going to be there's going to be some issues. Coming up, we'll run through some things that happened in the Phillies game yesterday, continue to dissect things in this Chris Sheridan story. We hope to get him on later in the show. Time of the Fanatic 814.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. We have heard from both parties involved in the Chris Sheridan story in the New York Daily News. New York Daily News. One, we've heard from Chris Sheridan. We're trying to get approval. He's, you know, got to go through his bosses whenever they do a public, announcement or whenever they do anything in a public forum outside of the newspaper. So we're hoping to get him on later in the show. And we have heard from the 76ers. And Bob, what did the 76ers say?
The 76ers have politely declined. Thanks, we'll pass. Focused on practice and heading to Brooklyn this afternoon. You know, thanks for the opportunity, though.
Just what I want to hear. Except the 76ers, in one form or another, have already addressed the story, denying it emphatically on Twitter through the use of their own public relations director, Dave Schaller, who responded to the Chris Sheridan story that once again pointed out in the story, Brett Brown has allegedly lost the locker room. Ben Simmons was allegedly drunk. Ben Simmons is allegedly Allen Iverson now. He annually disappears and gets exposed in the playoffs. And Elton Brand suggested to trade Ben Simmons to Sixers ownership. To all that, Dave Schaller responded on Twitter to that story, commenting, saying, "This is one of the worst, most irresponsible hack jobs I've ever seen in more than a decade of working in sports. Factual inaccuracies, made up stories, and references to conversations that never happened. This is a steaming pile of trash. Steaming, period. Pile, period." There's the 76ers statement, more or less. It's not on fancy letterhead, but nonetheless a statement.
It's out there.
It's out there. Let's get Dean in Mount Airy. You're on 97.5.
What's going on, y'all?
Yo.
Hey, that story is a bunch of crap.
All right.
I'm going to tell you why. First of all, it doesn't mean much, but Ben was born on July 20th, right?
Ben was born July 20th is his birthday?
Right. That's his birthday.
I just know he's 22. I don't have the man's birthday memorized. I'll look it up.
And I was born on the 18th.
Yes.
I'm January 26th.
I'm November 20th.
Jamie, what's your birthday?
November 4th.
Thank you. Sorry.
There's not in fashion, but listen. One thing about Ben.
Sam is September 15th.
Ben is the most professional person you can possibly find. And he works hard. Even though we don't know, like for instance, people telling the story that, we don't know if he's working out. Hey, Ben was working harder because he knows his reputation is on the line as far as a person. And I don't believe for 1 minute that he missed a game for something that stupid. As far as even being 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't believe that because here's one of the things. We all know that he hasn't put his jump shot out there, right?
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
But here's the thing, because he's like a perfectionist type person. Like, he doesn't want to put that out there and have if it's not consistent. You know what I mean? So his form looks good, and things that he do with that is good. Most of his game is worked to perfection, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's really been working on his stuff, and thanks for the call. That's one of the things that Brett Brown has said consistently whenever we've had him on, because almost every time we ask him about Ben trying to develop that jump shot and become a better shooter and all that, and add that to his arsenal in his game. And he continues to say that it is a work in progress with Ben. And there were a couple of games there, a couple of stretches where you saw him take a three in a game. It's baby steps, right? But we're also a city that gave a standing ovation to Markelle Fultz when he attempted a three in his first game back from his injury earlier in this season. So we're willing to encourage those things, as any fan base should be willing to encourage. But with Ben Simmons, we see an amazing skill set that he has right now without that part of his game developed. We saw that guy in the game 2 days ago, in game two against the Brooklyn Nets. A guy, a 6'10 point guard, a 6'10 power forward build point guard, be able to drive the lane any time he wanted to do it. He was aggressive in getting rebounds. He was smart and heads up and setting up teammates with assists, 12 assists in that game. No better one than the one we had talked about at length yesterday, setting up J.J. Redick, who was driving the baseline as Ben was driving the paint, and he dished it off to him when the defenders collapsed on him just outside the semicircle. Perfect setup of a teammate. We've talked about that. We've seen that. But what we would really love to see is the continued development of a 22-year-old who's already been named an all-star in the league. I don't think that's anything that's ridiculous. I don't think it's anything that's crazy. We know the work ethic is there with Ben Simmons. I had my reservations. When he was at LSU, and I was watching him play 15 to 20 games while he was at LSU, knowing that the Sixers would have a high draft pick and most likely take Ben Simmons, I was worried about the type of attitude he was going to have when he got to the NBA, because even if it's only college and he's doing it because he has to, he's doing a family favor for somebody who's a member of the coaching staff at LSU, you never want to see that player look lackadaisical. You never want to see them look lethargic. You never want to see him as if they're not giving 100% in a game. And that's how he looked throughout his season at LSU. He picked and chose where he really wanted to play and where he didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. Now, when you saw him at the NBA level, I've never seen that from him. I've seen him play bad, but I've never seen him look like he just didn't want to play.
And I was in Las Vegas for Summer League, and I'm sitting at the day was over, and I'm sitting at the bar having dinner, and in walks.
Did you miss your shift the next morning because you were drunk?
No,
you're good.
Good.
Okay,
Jane.
Good.
But if I did, I would have wrote about it
all
myself.
Right, good,
yeah. But in walks Johnny Jones, the head coach of LSU,
yes.
Ben Simmons' head coach. So I kind of make my way over, introduce myself, tell him I'm from Philly and all. He sits down with me. We had a drink together. He couldn't go on about how tough Ben Simmons is, how good he is. He went on and on. He said, I understand the label that he's getting. He goes, but there were so many things going on surrounding him that no one could be expected to perform any better than he did there. And he said, I'm not telling you this because Ben's gone. I'm not telling you this for any reason, but to tell you it's the truth. That's how he really felt about Ben Simmons. He couldn't have gone. He couldn't have talked more. Philadelphia tough is the two words that I think I wrote about. Actually, is what he said. He's Philly tough.
Philly tough.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, when I go back and I look at Ben, and, you know, I watch him through the games. You know, is he? Does he have everything that you want out of that player? No, but one of the things I do see is somebody that comes in and he plays hard, and it doesn't look like he's faking. People can see that. Anybody that's watched the game can see that this kid is out there giving everything that he has, and you can see that he's a gladiator and he's out there trying to do the best that he can. Now, can he work on some things to get better? Absolutely. You know, but I don't see a player that's slacking off, that has all the talent in the world but doesn't want to push himself. You know, can he work on his jump shot? Yes. Can he work on his three-pointer? Yes. But he's a dominating player that comes to work every day, and I just can't see, you know, this having anything to it.
Yeah.
You know, where he's missing a game because he went out drinking? I don't know. I'm not out in the streets like that anymore, and I don't hang out. I've never heard anything about this kid being out and about and just being wild like that.
No, we know he doesn't mind a little bit of spotlight.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't mind spotlight, would he date high-profile people? Like, was it Tina Shea before Kendall Jenner?
Like Tinashe.
Tinashe.
Yeah, there you go.
Scusi.
But like, I'm out and about a lot in town, and I've heard of a spot that he likes to go to with his girlfriend to have dinner. It's not like he's this crazy party boy.
Yeah.
To compare him to AI is just very irresponsible.
Let's compare him to Aussies, and you know him more than I do, Jamie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, he's very subdued.
Yeah.
If you ever met an Aussie.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Be ready for a party.
And, you know, me and AI was during the same era, so, you know, we would see each other a lot. You know, and
TGI Fridays?
Yeah, just a little bit of that, you know, just a little sprinkling around throughout the city, you know, but a little glam, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, but, yeah, it was, you know, but it was a different era. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see this kid being like that.
I'm 100% with you.
And I'm not saying the kid. The grown man. I don't see him, this young man, being like that. Not a kid.
You're right. Yeah, he's absolutely not. And I know people make excuses all the time, and you know they'll talk about he's a man. You know, he's just a kid. You know, 22 years old. He's just a kid anymore. Yeah. Let's get Lewis up here in Pensacola. Lewis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. A couple things. First of all, with Ben, people don't really realize that he won 3 national championships in high school. He actually sunk 2 game-winning free throws. To win the national championship. He only lost 1 basketball game his whole entire high school career. So when you saw somebody that was disconnected at LSU and try to label him as somebody that wasn't a winner, that was just ridiculous. He thought it was so ridiculous. If you watched the film, he thought it was ridiculous that he had to go to college when he wanted to go straight to the pros. That's ridiculous. But here's the thing. Also with the situation with him talking about, him, you know, missing practice, I mean, the game or whatever. Correct me if I'm wrong, but how many games has he missed over the time he's been here beside the year that he was hurt?
4.
4 games.
4 games.
And one was the last game of the season where everyone sat.
And how many times have I seen him, like they say he's questionable, probable, but then he wins a plan that game. The game that day.
You countless, know, Lewis. Countless.
It's ridiculous. Listen, if you want to talk about his jump shot, and here's another thing. Ben Simmons used to take jump shots in high school, and actually made a couple. Made some high school 3-pointers. The guy said it best. He is a perfectionist. That's the one thing about he. You know, he doesn't want to take the jump shot. And don't get me wrong. I really get frustrated about that. But he is a perfectionist. He is. He's not going to do anything that he doesn't feel as though he's going to be, really efficient at.
Right.
You know, he shoots almost 60% from the field.
Yeah, Lewis, I got to let you go. Our connection's starting to get a little bad there, man, but I appreciate you calling in. That is one of the things that will drive people nuts and will forever drive them nuts until he develops that part of his game. I mean, look, okay, Andre Iguodala. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me here.
Okay.
Andre Iguodala frustrated a lot of people.
The real AI.
He didn't have, let's stop comparing people to Allen Iverson. At least Andre Iguodala was teammates with AI at one point. But in all seriousness, Andre Iguodala had no way to protect the potential that Ben Simmons has, right?
Mm. Right.
But Andre Iguodala frustrated people because he didn't develop other parts of his game. Like, you knew he could drive, you knew he could dunk, you knew he could play great defense. But that outside shooting thing is something that always evaded him. And when he wasn't getting better at that, it wasn't until, I think, his last go around, his last year with the Sixers, that he started to actually hit those shots consistently. And I remember they had the deep run in the playoffs, and then they ended up trading him and all that stuff. But he never developed that part of the game here. Ben Simmons has all the potential in the world, 22 years old, already an all-star. People will be frustrated, if they're not already, if he doesn't develop that part of his game. Because Andre Iguodala wasn't going to be an MVP candidate just by developing the jump shot. A guy like Ben Simmons is.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the disappointment might be even higher, because their expectations are.
Of course. Right. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right, okay.
It's that ceiling is so much higher for him, and it's that one aspect of his game that if he just developed that, so many more things would open up. How great a passer he is, the passing lanes that would open up when somebody has to collapse on him outside the paint. Like, oh my goodness, just from the foul line, how much that would open up for this team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sag off them anymore. That would open up things even more down low for Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris. It's just how much better this team could be with that one attribute that he could get better at in his game. Chris in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing? Hey. First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome, man. Thanks for calling.
I just get tired of, like, these bogus reports that comes out to try to tear someone down like Ben Simmons and what the Sixers are doing. You're detracting from what they're trying to do. They're trying to win the championship, and you want to bring negative, you know, energy to the process that they're trying to do. And I just hate that the reporters that be trying to get that out, they get this type of light, this type of attention, because believe me, I don't feel the way that that report came out, like Ben Simmons is a drunk, an alcoholic, and he hates the team, and that's a talent that I wouldn't want to trade. Like, why would you want to trade away talent?
Right, I do want to say this, though, Chris. The story does not say he's an alcoholic. The story has its faults, and I just don't want to exceed what the story already has said.
But you left out that he hates puppies as well.
I'm just giving it the twist, like they try to give it the twist so everybody can believe it. Some have some belief in whatever the story they're trying to put out.
You're trying to have a hotter take than the hot take?
Yes, a hotter take than the hot take.
Out hot take. The take.
It's a hot take off.
Yes, there we go. Thank you.
But that's all I was really calling about. That's all I wanted to mention.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. You know, I'm trying to enjoy a Phillies game last night where they get 10 runs in the first inning. And believe me, I was enjoying that. It was quite nice. Scott Kingery, Wendy Yard,
Scotty Barrels.
And it's, you know, 10-0 lead. So my eyes start to wander to the phone, right? I start scrolling, looking around what's going on. And this story from Chris Sheridan pops up about Ben Simmons and possibly
hating puppies.
About Brett Brown being out if the Sixers lose in the first round of the playoffs. This brought to you by Duh, as the great Norm MacDonald used to say on SNL. And then it also talks about how Ben Simmons missed a game in Orlando because he was having a little drinky drink the night before. And I'm like, of all the things to come out now, and the inaccuracies in the story, for instance, where things took place, like the face-to-face argument allegedly with Bruce Bowen when he was addressing the team, that was not in Portland. It was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Just weird things like that.
And we know this team fairly well, and we know how they kind of handle load management. Bob, if you had to guess, would you guess that Ben Simmons was under the understanding that he would have that Orlando game off ahead of the day of the game?
Wouldn't surprise me at 15 games to go in the season at that point.
If they circled it and said, hey, Orlando's a good spot for you to take the night off?
Yeah, could be.
And if that's the case,
that's the first thing I looked up today.
And if that's the case, and I'm a 22-year-old millionaire in the state of Florida, and I know I'm off work the next day, guess what I'm going to go do? Probably have a couple glasses of wine.
There you go.
So, it could have not even been accurate in that case. You know, he could have known he had the night off and went out to enjoy himself because he had the night off.
Well, the story says that, Brett Brown said, oh, no, never mind. He didn't. He didn't go to anyone to find out.
But, it's
happened.
Just, like you said earlier, it's one of those things that you can't not prove.
Mm.
So it's just like, oh, I'm just going to throw this crap at the wall because nobody can disprove it.
But that's the thing. Now that's always going to be in your head. Now if anything ever comes
out
again.
That's why if I'm Ben, I'm pissed.
You have to be.
Real pissed.
Like if you're Ben, you have to address the story in one way or another. And he's going to be in Brooklyn tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I say, hey, Chris Sheridan.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Aw, look at you. That was good, James.
I love when you set up your own drops. It's my favorite.
Know, right? That's
it really is my... It's
so
great.
Cute.
It's really nice. It's like, hey, you're not going to believe it, guys.
Catch me outside. How about that?
But that's not Ben's line. Remember, Ben's line is stay on that side.
Stay
on that side. How about that? And then triple-double buckle for the beat. All right, folks. We got wide open lines for you right now. If you want to get in, hopefully going to talk to Chris Sheridan a little bit later in the show. And then we're going to get a little bit more into the Phillies. And we are taking up the cause for Scott Kingery. Because I know Gene Segura's got a little bit of a tweak, a little tightness, right? He might miss a game or two. But when he comes back, the middle of the infield should read Gene Segura on the left. And playing shortstop. And then on the right at second base, Scott Kingery for the foreseeable future. The man's earned it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And Notre Dame has been in the news. Notre Dame Cathedral in France.
Yes.
Jamie, you were there.
I was there 2 years ago. Gorgeous, gorgeous structure.
I've heard lovely things. And obviously it's been in the news for some sad news. Yeah. The catching on fire. And a lot of people have been sending their thoughts and prayers to France and all that stuff. And rightfully so. The way they could fix this, as in repair the chapel,
absolutely amazing.
The cathedral is incredible. I never heard of anything like this before. We'll get into that coming up in this next segment. 610-632-0975.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So video games have really come into more and more prominence, I guess, over the last couple of years.
Who say?
Like, now you get a scholarship for playing video games. You're aware of this?
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's a profession.
Don't say that. Kids are already in school.
Oh, no, they're going to miss school now because they're going to go home and play video games because they care about their education.
I could have gone pro in Tony Hawk pro skater back in the day.
I bet you couldn't.
Bet you I could. I just wish I knew that existed.
Yeah, right. It wasn't an option for us. You know, it was funny. I talked to a group of kids last week. Right, went out to a school, St. Joe, St. Rob's, out in Warwick, I believe, technically, off 611. And one of the teachers said it was for a career day, right? And one of the teachers said that a lot of times they tell the kids, like, your job hasn't even been created yet. So when you're thinking about what you want to do, like, think about how fast technology has changed everything, right? Like, look at right now. Did you ever think, you know, blogging would be a thing? Like, just go back like 10, 15, or 20 years, whatever. It's like the jobs when I was in grade, like when I was their age, 7th and 8th grade. I don't know what, the internet?
That would have been like my aspiration in life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, blogging was a thing. I mean, you go out there on the corner, you talk to whatever random guy.
Yeah, right.
He has an idea. Here it is. There you go.
A chat room is actually people chatting in a room.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. And it's like, wow, you think about it. And now it's like the sports where the video game world has changed so much because now you could be a professional gamer. Well, with all the tragedy going on in France right now with Notre Dame, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, Notre Dame, if you will, one of the ways they're going to go about fixing this potentially is through a video game. One of the most popular video games out there right now, or at least it's been, Assassin's Creed. One of the versions of the video game takes place in France, in Paris, where they computer image, you know, Notre Dame. And they want to use that computer image, supposedly,
to help rebuild
the cathedral itself.
Hmm.
Now, the person that was working on this worked for the game thing, Caroline Mithieu. I don't know how to say her name. She's
that
French.
That was good.
I think
nailed
I nailed it. I just crushed it.
Yeah, that was good.
She took French in high school?
Oh, no. I took a real language. But anyway, if you took French in high school.
French.
You studied French?
Jamie studied French.
You our friend of the show, Diane, who made us pork sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
She studied French. Did that do anything for you?
Je m'appelle Jamie.
Well, what else you got there?
That's all I got.
Je m'appelle Guillaume.
Your name is William.
Yes, right.
I'd say that's all I need.
Fromage.
Cheese.
Yeah.
All right. Formaggio, Italian, whatever.
Yeah.
I've actually heard French and Italian is very similar.
It is.
Whatever.
It's a romance language.
That's true.
It makes me suave.
See, that's why you took French in high school, because you wanted to impress girls.
I took it as a pro when I was in the league.
Oh, that's right. You did take it later.
I was doing it on Tuesdays.
Yeah, but you're also an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know what one has to do with the other, but anyway.
Yeah,
but draw me like one of your French girls. But anyway, so they're trying to restructure the cathedral, and they might use the computer imaging from Assassin's Creed to help them rebuild the chapel. The person that actually built it in the game, right? That they call it build it in the game.
Right.
They made, let's see here. I made some other stuff in the game, but 80% of the time that Caroline Mithieu was spent on building Notre Dame in the video game. And they want to take that computer image to redo the church.
That's awesome.
That's a possible way of fixing the church, according to this.
There you go.
I think I was reading a lot of the BBC. They were doing a lot of stuff on this. Oh, no, it was Business Insider that actually had the story. Oh,
okay.
There you go. Whatever you can do to solve the problem, the horrible problem that happened. 610-632-0975. Let's get John up here. John, you're on 97.5.
John from
Fanatic.
Wayne. That looks good on the board.
It does, doesn't it?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good morning.
So, first, the Sheridan story is a mess. I mean, anybody who appreciates journalism would say that whatever he's referencing as a source just isn't enough to justify this story being out there. It's irresponsible. But in the spirit of journalism and my belief that there are legitimate journalists on this show, I would challenge any of you to get on the phone with Drexel University and ask them about Ben Simmons' presence at the DAC. Because that kid has been spending a ton of time at their arena shooting on off days. Don't take my word for it. I'm just the guy calling your show. I completely understand that. But you guys know people at Drexel. Call them. Corroborate it. Everyone at that university is aware of it.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm not going to doubt it. I mean, he did take Kendall there to watch, what, T.J. McConnell's brother a couple months back?
Yeah,
but wait, he funnels the grain alcohol in between the shootings?
John, thanks for the call, man.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. All right, maybe we'll look into that. But like I said earlier, when Brett Brown has talked to us, when he's called into the show, he has talked about how much Ben Simmons has worked on his game and how much he is working on developing that aspect of his game to get somewhat of an outside shot. Like a mid-range game is all we're really talking about here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
No, I've been especially a little bit more, do practices and watched Ben mm-hmm. stay there after practice and been told that he was there the night before. You know, one of the biggest things that Brett Brown wanted to implement into this new practice facility was for it to be available to players at any time. He has told me in the past, no one takes more advantage of that than Ben Simmons. Talking about 11 o'clock at night coming in, you know, coming in during the off season when he's in town. All of that, I don't know why that would be made up. You know, I've never ever heard a story to the negative about Ben Simmons' work ethic.
I remember just the college stuff, LSU, and I remember people had the same feeling I did when they watched him play. There was an aspect of his game that a lot of times was, I don't feel like playing right now. That's what it looked like in watching him. And I wasn't the only person to get that feeling on him.
And there still is. There's a nonchalant to his game that I've said it before. I've said it many times. There's a nonchalant to his game that does get on my nerves a bit. And I understand that. I do. I also think that sometimes the game comes so easy to him that it looks like he's not playing as hard as he is.
Mike Schmidt syndrome.
Yeah, Mike Schmidt's a great example. The non-sweating stuff is, it sounds silly, but people look in the fourth quarter and there he is, not winded, not a bead of sweat on him, and people read it that way. People read it like, wow, he's not trying. But I don't think that's the case.
I mean, if you put a heart rate monitor on that man and then you say, okay, and if you're tracking all of his movement, I'm pretty sure you're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's more of a testament to his conditioning than anything.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing. When he hurt his foot, and we talked to Brett, you know, you're going through the season, so you're not bringing up Ben Simmons all that much. And then one time I saw him in the weight room. He had his shirt off, and I grabbed Brett, and I said, is he always been like that big? He goes, oh, dude, he's totally reformed his body. He lost weight and then bulked up and got to 250 pounds. Like, this kid was a monster. And he said he'd been in the weight. He did everything he could non-basketball because of the foot he couldn't play. He did everything he could to get himself better. The kid's a worker.
I remember after the draft, or right before the draft, so after his college basketball season at LSU, I remember him posting a video on Instagram. Actually, it was just a picture, and it was him with his shirt off. And I was like, oh, this guy's just trying to dispel the rumor that he doesn't work hard. And then when I looked at it again, I was like, oh, damn, he is jacked.
Yeah, if I looked like that, I'd be posting pictures of me shirtless every day.
All the time I go to the grocery store.
Like everywhere, like, just shirtless.
I'm trying to go get some eggs.
You could never go to a convenience store because there's no shirt, no shoes
shirt
rule.
Shirt off all the time.
No, shirt optional for me all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, you know.
I'm not here for service.
Single-digit body fat, shirt off all the time. Being here, shirt off.
Really?
Just chilling, you know, hanging.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.